Thank you, Luke. Good morning. I am not John Paul. He had requested... Grandpa's a little slow there. And the hurting begins, all right. I am not John Paul. He had requested to take some personal time this weekend. And Johnny Brooks was going to fill in. And I got a phone call from him this morning that Mary had taken a tumble and her blood pressure is really high. So they've taken her to the emergency room this morning. And that's where they are. We haven't heard anything yet? Nothing yet? Okay. So just prayers requested for Johnny and them. So you are stuck with me this morning. I hope you're ready for this wonderful ride that we are about to go on this morning. It is good to see everybody that is here this morning. The weather is not the greatest outside, kind of cool and damp, but the moisture that we can use. Let's go to our God in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for bringing all of us here safely this morning. We thank you for this time that we have to sing praises to you, to hear a message from your word, Father, but most importantly, to fellowship with each other this morning, to encourage one another as we are all here, but Father, to fellowship with you in this time. We just ask that you continue to be with us, as always, in your Son's holy name. Amen. As Luke read this morning, bear with me, because this morning my mind went this way with all these different things and trying to bring it back to here. So I'll try not to get the shotgun blast way out here. So I'll try to stay to topic. But as Luke read this morning, Samuel was sent to anoint the new king of Israel. He learned that God's measure of a person was different than man's. And how true that is. We could see everybody on the outside. When you walk through those doors, you can put on a facade that, wow, they are a true Christian. But we can't see what's on the inside. God can. The same is true today. Is God's measure of a Christian is often different than that applied by many people. This morning, we're going to try to look at the measure often used by us, brethren, to evaluate one another and then consider what is God's measure, which ought to be ours as well. Now, I'm not asking, telling you to go and judge your brothers and sisters, because that's not our job. Thank you, Lord, because I don't want that job. But we're called, and Jeff Kinney, I like this term that he used, we're called to be fruit inspectors. We're called to keep each other in check, if you will, to hold each other accountable, that if you're not walking in God's Word, then we need to stop you. We need to correct you, but in a loving manner. But do remember, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, I'm sure, somewhere along the line, but as the thoughts come about, you're going to get it. Before you try to remove that speck from somebody else's eye, remove that plank from your own eye. Don't be so quick. But make sure you go in love, but not accusational. The measure that's often used by brethren, we often measure Christians by their attendance. If they attend all the services, then they must be faithful brethren. If they attend some of the services, they must be weak brethren. Their participation is in church-related activities. If they participate in all of activities, such as Bible class, evangelism classes, visitation programs, or anything else out there, then they truly must be strong brethren. But if for any reason they do not participate in all that the church offers, their commitment is certainly suspect. How often do we do that? Now, I don't see this person here. They must be weak, or they're not doing this. We don't know what they're doing outside of here. There's so many things that go on. I do want to mention one thing here, another thought that just come to mind. If you look at I think I counted as 7 pews right here, 1, 2, 3, where Alex and Cheryl are sitting, they're at a 3rd pew back. The end caps on those have been redone. Who's doing that? Jeff Gonauer's doing that. We he'd asked Jeff to do that, and unfortunately for him this last fall, he took a bout, and what he told me is, when I do something, I do it well. He took a bout with ending up in the hospital with dehydration, I believe, or kidney stones. Then wound up getting the flu while he was there, and then had something else. Got discharged, and then come down with COVID. He has had a tough fall, bless his heart. He's finally getting back to where he's got these front two here in front of you guys done. He's slowly working on that. But that's a behind-the-scenes thing. What are we doing behind the scenes? Or actually, yeah, what are we doing? Because I want to speak to myself as well. What are we doing behind the scenes that glorifies God that others don't see? Don't come boasting about, hey, look what I did. That's irrelevant, because you've already gotten your reward. Our reward is in heaven. Let God acknowledge what you've done, or let somebody else. But be humble about it and say, huh, yeah, but I don't want that credit. But thank you. How about leadership abilities? The men are considered strong Christians if they lead singing, prayers, help serve the Lord's Supper, teach classes, preach sermons. Women are considered strong Christians if they teach children's classes, women's classes, prepare communion, clean the building. What's the problem with this measure? It tends to measure the outside of man. People can do these things and still be spiritually destitute on the inside. Hypocrites can exist very comfortably with such a measure. And I had the scripture for later, but I want to go there now, and that was in, I wrote it down, bear with me one moment. Matthew 26. Nope, Matthew 23, 25 through 26, I believe it is, yeah. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." Appreciate what Jeff mentioned right before the offering. And that thought just went away. Don't you love that? God can see your heart. And I think I'm paraphrasing there what you said, Jeff. But God can see your heart. He can see what you're giving and how much you're able to give. But only you can determine that, and God sees that. You can give $500 a week. But if that's what your sole purpose is, to come here is just to give and say, okay, I've done my duty, that's not all we're called to do. There's so much more out here that we can be doing together. You don't have to do it by yourself. You can say, hey, I want to go see so-and-so. You want to come with me? Then go with a couple people. We tend to be stronger in numbers anyway, being a little more courageous, if you will, and not as lighthearted. It's tough to do things on your own. But that's the great thing about being a Christian. We're not alone. We have each other, but most importantly, we have God. So brethren can remain in a spiritual immaturity if this is the only measure given to them. It tends to neglect the multifaceted nature of the body of Christ, especially if emphasis is on the public functions of the church. And if emphasis is placed on one function over another, as in Romans 12, 3-8, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, because none of us is any greater than the other. We're all here together on a level playing field. With who? Jesus. And where's Jesus at? He's right there with us. After all, are we not co-heirs with Christ? What a thought there. Co-heirs with Jesus, our Savior, our brother, What then should be the measure of a strong Christian? Well, if we go to Galatians 5, and I love going here all the time, just as soon as I can find Galatians 5, there it is. And 22-23, Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So here are the qualities of one who is truly spiritual. This is evidence that is truly led by the Spirit of God. No one who is truly spiritual will certainly be involved in various activities of the church. Galatians 6:1-2. "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." We go to... So this measure requires that the inner man be changed first. We got to change the inside first. We got to wash the inside of that cup first. Colossians 3:12-17. Colossians 3:12-17 tells us, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Again, the measure begins with the inside. But it carries over to our relationship with each other in such activities as Bible study and singing. There's other passages that we can consider for preachers. One may preach a great sermon, but what of his personal life? 1 Timothy 6:11 and 2 Timothy 2:22. He may be willing to contend for the faith, but in the right spirit. Bishops or elders or pastors, they may be married and have children who believe, Titus 1:5-6, but are they quick to anger, unable to teach others? Members young and old, they may be attending the services faithfully, but is their conduct becoming their stage in life? Titus 2:1-8. See, again, we go back to that. When you walk through the doors, are you having to change yourself so that we could see somebody Christ-like? Or do you just subconsciously walk through the doors the same that you are out there? A strong Christian. Somebody that is truly walking in the light. There's challenges with this. As Christ said, following me is not going to be easy. That path is narrow, for the path of destruction is wide. It emphasizes the reformation of the inside of a person, trusting that the outside will naturally flow. And again, as Jeff said earlier, put your trust in God. Put God first. As he talked about in giving, is that the first thing that you put out, write out your checks for each month? Is God? And then go to your bills? Or is God last? I've always said this I say this to a lot of people. Put God first. If you put God first in everything, then that everything else will fall in place. Try it. It works. Believe me, it works. If you put God first, say, God, got this problem. You know all about it. You know what's going on. I'm putting it to you. I'm going to put you first. Things tend to fall in place and go in the right direction. Go in a good direction. So it requires a transformation when the confirmation would be a lot easier. We can conform to the world so very easy. But transforming from a worldly life to a Christian life, a little more difficult. It takes some time. We've got Christians here that we've been Christians for, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years. There may be some in here more. I have a birthday coming up in March. 3/23/1983. That's when I became a Christian. 40 years ago. Coming up this March. 40 years. Have I grown since then? Yes, I have. Have I grown as much as I could? Probably not. Do I have room to grow? Oh, you better believe it. Do you have room to grow? We have some new Christians in the audience here. They're just starting. But believe me, just because you became a Christian in the last year doesn't mean that this transformation has happened right away when you come right up out of the water. You're a new creature. Your past is gone. God has forgiven that. That's washed away. You have a new life now, and it's going to take a while. Many of you remember Herman Pope, and he would stand up here and say, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. I am still learning. And Herman, I forget how old he was, 83, 84, something like that, into his mid-80s. Been preaching since he was 16 years old. Do the math. I'm not going to do the math right off the cuff, but a long time. And he does admit it. I don't know it all. It takes growth. It takes studying on our part. Constantly being vigilant. Washing the inside of the cup so the outside looks clean, regardless of the situation. We like to use road rage. That's huge right now. Or where something happens, swinging a hammer, holding a nail, and you smash your thumb. What's your reaction? Hopefully all it is ow! That didn't feel good. I won't do that again. As opposed to, I don't know, exclamation point, question mark, hashtag, you know, covering something up. So as again I said, transformation, it takes more time, but time that some brothers or brethren may not wish to take, either for themselves or for those whom they want to quickly conform to their ideas and programs. So trying to get involved in teaching before one is ready just to make oneself look good. This is a measure that often only the Lord sees, that transformation. God sees that. He knows where you're at in your walk. And our walks all go different directions, may cross paths. But I pray that our goal is all the same. However we get there, we may veer all over the place. And I'm sure if we had all had a starting point at the same spot and drew a squiggle line to try to get to the end goal, we'd cover a sheet of paper with lines everywhere. That's your faith walk. That's where your life has been taking you. But as long as you still focus on the cross. It's easy to put on a front, as I mentioned earlier, and again in Matthew 23. So we see each other only for a short time each week. We really do. We're here this morning, and there'll be some here tonight. I'd love to see everybody here tonight. I'd love to see everybody again on Wednesday night. Where is your focus at? You know, we have some people who want to rush out of here and get home. Why are we rushing home? We fellowship with each other. Why are you not here tonight? Is it because there's a football game on? And that's more important? To see who the Chiefs might play next weekend? Can you change the outcome of that game of who's going to play next weekend? Nope. What satisfaction is there in that? You know, I watched the Chiefs game yesterday afternoon. At the end of the game, was I satisfied? No. I still felt empty. Chiefs won, yes, I'm glad. They're going to their fifth straight AFC championship game. There's still emptiness there. There's really not a lot of satisfaction there. I will tell you, the AFC championship game is late Sunday afternoon next week. Where are you going to be Sunday night? Clean the inside of the cup as opposed to and let the outside show. Clean the inside of the cup. I'm not standing up here being accusational or accusing anybody or judging anybody. I have my faults too. I'm preaching to myself as well as everybody else out here. On the other hand, brethren, who may seem passive when we are together may be extremely active when apart. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we don't know what each other does outside of here to glorify and honor God. But I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, are doing something to glorify and honor God. If you're not, why not? You know, God opens doors for us to share His Word. Do you boldly step through that door knowing that He's with you? Or do you just kind of look through that door like, I don't know about this. I don't know. He opened the door for a reason. Step through it boldly. Step through it proudly. Because why? You are one of God's messengers. We are one of God's messengers. That's why we're here. So what was the purpose in discussing the true measure of a Christian? It's not been so we can go around and judge others, by no means. But to suggest caution in how we measure others. You know, Galatians chapter 5 is a great go-to. And it starts off with fruits of the flesh up there. And it talks about fruits of the flesh. And at the end of that statement, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you here putting on a facade? Are you here having to change yourself when you walk through the doors and make yourself look like you're a strong Christian? And then going outside the door and practicing. I'll just go there real quick. Galatians 5. And this is one of the scriptures I was going to read earlier. We'll start in 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. A stark warning. Very, very strong warning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Which are you practicing? I pray you're not practicing fruits of the flesh. I hope that we're all striving to practice fruits of the Spirit. You may not be as strong in some of those areas, but as long as you are improving, that's what's asked of you. That's all that's asked of you. Improve. Grow stronger each day. Going back to 1 Samuel, the statement of the Lord to Samuel still applies today. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. The Lord does not see as we see. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Brothers and sisters, I didn't come here to step on toes. I'm not up here stepping on toes. If I stepped on your toes, I'm not sorry, but I missed. I'm aiming for your heart. That's where I was aiming for. Herman used the term introspection. I hope you take this message and inspect your heart. Inspect your Christian walk, your Christian life, and grow stronger from it. The message is yours. What you do with it this morning, that's between you and God. But I pray and I hope that we all grow stronger every day, that we help each other. If you see a brother or sister stumble, pick them up. Dust them off. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much you're here for them. Is there anything I can do to help you to keep forward so we can all cross that finish line together? If you have any needs, any prayer requests, you can let those be known by coming forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.